Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuckery here with you. Saturday afternoon, just about halfway home today with you. So the other night, Albert Pujols became only the third player. Think about that. Only the third player in the history of Major League Baseball to have 2,000 or more RBI. Alex Rodriguez at 2,086. Hank Aaron, the all-time leader, 2,297. It was a solo home run that he hit at Comerica Park in Detroit the other night. Well, the fan who caught the ball, Eli Hides, had said on Thursday that he was going to keep the ball. There was rumors about what the Tigers did or did not say or do. Hyde says that there was pressure from the Tigers staff to hand the ball over to either Pujols or the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Tigers disputing it, saying that the staff, quote, conducted themselves in a professional manner, and according to the Detroit News. Well, now Eli has decided that he is going to give the ball either to Albert Pujols or the Baseball Hall of Fame. He says, I slept on it. All I ever wanted was to sleep on it. I slept on it, and I woke up, and I think Pujols is a class act. He's not my player. He's not my guy. I don't deserve the ball. Now, Pujols had some comments the other day. He wasn't upset about it. And then when asked yesterday, said that heard the guy wanted to give it back, but he can keep it. I said what I had to say yesterday. I think he deserves it. He's a fan, and give it to the Hall of Fame. Supposedly, there was an offer of a signed bat and a couple of Miguel Cabrera things and just a dumb offer for something that has that kind of historical significance. So, but according to this latest story, he doesn't want anything in return. He's not asking for money or anything like that. If what they really offered him is true, the bat and some Miguel Cabrera items and this, that, and the other, that's kind of insulting, I'll be honest with you. For something of that level, only the third player to do something like this, yeah, come off with more than an autographed bat and a three-minute interview, I guess, or three-minute one-on-one was part of it, too, with Albert Pujols. But, you know, it's 2019. What can you do? All right, listen, Georgia Tech football fans, when's the last time you've been this excited for a season? There's a good ESPN article talking about Coach Collins. We'll break it all down next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, 19 on the game. Sports Radio, 92.9 the game. Back with you on Saturday afternoon, live in the Kia Studios. John Chuckery hanging out with you here. Flying solo, Riggs and Murtaugh tomorrow from the Gulch. Weather permitting, 10 to 145, somewhere around in that range as we get ready for Atlanta United action. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's our phone line, by the way, too, if you want to interact with the show. Streaming online, if you go to 929thegame.com, it's our new and improved website. All of our interviews are up there. Replays of the show, our finest moments. You know, Bo wants a good grade out here. This is the longest Bo and I have been together without a drink in our hand. So, Bo Johnson producing today. Download your radio.com app for your phone, your tablet, your boombox, your CD player, your Walkman. I don't know, whatever you got, Laserdisc, whatever you got, Blu-ray. Just put it on the device. That way you can just listen to us anywhere that you're on the go. All of our social media, it's all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We got all of it there for you. Best way to interact with the show, if you follow me on Twitter, at JMCH316. You can be part of the conversation. Give us any of your thoughts. Some folks have already weighed in on some of the things, especially with the Hawks that we were talking about a little bit earlier. There's a very lengthy article up on ESPN's website from the other day done by Alex Scarborough about the changing of Georgia Tech's football program and the influence that Jeff Collins has had on it. And from everything to the branding of Georgia Tech, you know, the waffle use of Waffle House, the use of the 404, all kinds of different things as far as even hashtags and graphics and different things like that about trying to change the culture and trying to change the mindset about Georgia Tech football. Now, Jeff Collins was a guy who was here at one time at Georgia Tech, and he was part of that recruiting guys of the Derek Morgans and that group of guys. When back when Georgia Tech used to be in not just the football business, but the guys play on Sunday at our program football business. And that is without question, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, without question, the number one thing that Georgia Tech has moved away from is the Sunday player culture. Now, we all know why. It's not a tough discussion, you know, because Paul Johnson is just not going to get those kinds of kids. And Tommy Bowden always said it best about offensive linemen don't want to not learn how to pass protect. Defensive linemen don't want to come here because they don't want to get cut block all spring long. Wide receivers won't see the ball enough. Tight ends would never even have a place on this team. Quarterbacks don't want to come here because they're going to basically run an offense that's going to require them to get pounded on every single play. So if you can't get defensive linemen, you can't get offensive linemen, you can't get wide receivers, can't get tight ends, can't get quarterbacks, yeah, that's a tough go when you talk about recruiting at a school. That's the number one impact where Coach Collins is going to have is Sunday-level players. And he's trying to make it cool to come back to Tech. You know, Hugh Douglas and I, we were at the T-Day game or the Georgia Tech spring game, whatever they – I think they call it T-Day, but the Georgia Tech spring game. We were there. And they – and I know the Georgia fans are going to mock because, you know, they had 22,000 people there. But the reality is for Georgia Tech, that was a really good crowd. And there was an enthusiasm, and pardon the pun, there was a buzz that was around that stadium and around talking to people. Now, was lucky enough to talk to some of the alumni, some of the former players, guys that you know their names, was lucky enough to talk to some of those guys. And you can tell there's more excitement. They know it's going to be a rebuilding process. What I found most interesting is you had – like Calvin Johnson, who I think he made his first trip back since he was in the NFL. You know, things like that for this program are huge. And that's one of the things that my understanding and talking, you know, asking the alumni. First question I ask the alumni, first thing I'm asking all those guys, is Coach Collins reaching out to you guys? I'm a big believer at these college programs of embracing your past. Because those are the guys that can speak directly to the recruits. It's not so much a matter of this recruit remembers Ryan Stewart at Georgia Tech. But what Ryan Stewart can do is he can sell that program. He can sell what his experience is like and the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. And especially if you have a lot of good. You know, if you have a lot of good. Add to the fact, and this is part of what's happening at Georgia, without question, at Georgia. Georgia is sexy because everybody in the NFL wants to come and see Georgia. There's a reason why Bill Belichick doesn't send his minions to Georgia. Belichick goes there himself. Now, his minions end up right now, even, as crazy as it sounds, his minions end up at Southern California. You know, places like that. Bill goes to Georgia in Alabama because that's top-line kids. There's a sexiness about it, and the kids see that. And the kids see what goes on there. I'm not telling you Bill Belichick is coming to Georgia Tech. My point to all of this is that you've got to be able to have kids that come into this program and say, wow, there's Calvin Johnson. Wow, there's Joe Hamilton. I remember those guys. And by the way, I'm not talking about bringing in guys from the 40s and 50s and 60s. I'm talking about you got to find relevant guys. See, Georgia can bring in Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. And Sony, and I met David Andrews out about a month or two ago. I met him out. You know, those guys have Super Bowl rings. Those guys can come back onto campus and say, we had a great time here. This is what you're trying to play for in the next level. Bringing those kinds of kids in and letting them see that. Yeah, it's cool for some of the older guys, you know, to come in and all that. But having that pipeline of guys. Because it's cool to see Andrews and, you know, Sony and Nick or Todd Gurley or whoever. Bringing those kinds of guys back on campus. That's where Tech has got to get to. But you got to start with what you have. You got to start with Joe and Calvin and guys like that. Because that's the guys that you have. So I think that was big to get Calvin Johnson back in the mix and get him involved in all this. But you've seen Coach Collins really sell the brand of Georgia Tech. You know, despite what some people will tell you, Georgia Tech is one of the great programs of all time in the history of college football. You can't write the history of college football without Georgia Tech playing a role and being featured in a story like that. Now, there's a lot of big history for this program at Georgia Tech. Forget, and I understand, we all live in a prisoner of the moment. Forget the Chan Gailey to Paul Johnson era of Tech football. You know, the last time I remember real excitement at Georgia Tech wasn't when Calvin was on campus. It was when George was here. There was a lot of excitement when Joe's leading this team, when Gotsy's leading this team, and having that staff and the years under Joe, because, and I always like to throw this at Randy, that program felt sexier than Georgia at that time. In those last Jim Donnan years of Georgia, Georgia didn't feel like the sexier program. Tech was beating them. There was more of a vibe. There was more of an excitement with some of the players that were at Georgia Tech. Because I get it. Georgia was those last couple of years of Jim, and you got Stroud and Seymour and Kendrell Bell and all these guys that are rolling through that would go on to be NFL studs. You know, it still felt like Tech was a sexier program at that time. Sorry, Georgia fans. I know you'll dispute it, but that's you've got the rose-colored glass on. I don't have to have that. I can tell you, I was here. I watched it. Tech was sexy. It was fun. You know, they were a good offensive team. Friedgen was an offensive guy. George was kind of hard-nosed, but he had personality to it. Loved George O'Leary. It's been a long time since there's been that excitement level. And you could tell. You could actually feel that there was an excitement level in talking to people at the spring game, in getting out, and seeing the crowd. They were into it. You know, I think people really felt. And it's not so much people didn't like Paul Johnson. It's not so much people don't like him, what have you. I love Paul. I think Paul's a terrific football coach. I think Paul's fun to interview because he's no nonsense. He doesn't take a lot of crap. Doesn't have to. He's done this forever and a day. But there's no question that this program needed a new direction and a sense of invigoration to it. Tech is too good. You're playing in the ACC in Midtown Atlanta, okay? Thursday night, under the lights, overlooking downtown, that's as good a scene as it gets in college football. It's everything you want. And you can tell me recruiting and all this. Don't worry. Jeff Collins is going to find a way. There will be Sunday-level kids. He did it before. He did it before in having the Morgan Burnetts and the Derek Moore, those guys. He did it before. He was here when back in those days of George when they did have those caliber of guys. And that was my number one takeaway from the Georgia Tech spring game is when you looked at that team, they don't have enough guys that when they get off the bus, you look at them and say, uh-oh. I understand players and coaching up and all that. I'm talking about just first blush. Kid gets off the bus, and you say, wow. That kid really looks like a college football player. Yeah. Tech needs more of those. And I think they've got the right guy. I wasn't sure. but I really think they have the right guy. And it may take longer to see the results on the field. It may be a situation where you as a Tech fan have to live with some not so good for a little bit longer. It's not like Georgia where it's just going to be a quick turnaround all of a sudden, a year or two, and we're playing for a national title. It won't be that, but I think they really have the right guy. Read that article on ESPN about Georgia Tech's program if you're a fan. All right, speaking of college football, another reason why four teams is still better than eight, and it has nothing to do with on the field. We'll talk about all that next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Saturday afternoon with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Saturday afternoon, John Chuckery hanging out with you here till 5 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. On Twitter, at JMCH316, if you want to follow along and be a part of the show as well. We'll get to What's Bugging Chuckery coming up next, and it ties into one of Bo's favorite shows. I know he's a Game of Thrones kind of guy, so yeah, I got a story that I just shook my head at, so we'll get to that all next. So earlier this week, a couple of scheduling things that had me very interested in college football. And to me, this is kind of the unwritten story of why I think four teams is also so much better. There's a lot of reasons why I think a four-team college playoff is better than eight and 16 and whatever craziness, six and this, that, and you know, with all these crazy things that they want to do. Georgia scheduling Oklahoma for a home and home. Now, there's a lot of years in between. I get that, you know, but Georgia's going to play Oklahoma. I think it's 3 years from now, 3-4 years from now, and then they'll be like 5 years and they'll play him again. But also saw where Florida and Texas put together a home and home. And, you know, Florida never leaves the state of Florida to go out of conference. They'll go to Tallahassee or down to Coral Gables, but the idea of leaving the state of Florida to play a non-conference game has just been foreign to that program. So what I think you're seeing is the fact that with four teams, you got to figure out how to separate yourself. You can't simply just tell everybody, I play in a great conference, that should be enough. And then you've got Massachusetts, Western Kentucky, Citadel, and whatever other jabron directional school that you want to put out there. How do I separate myself when only four teams are going to get that bid? How do I separate myself? Because to me, in eight teams or anything like that, you know, and some people want like six, the five power conference winners. Well, if all I got to focus on is my conference schedule because I'm going to get an automatic bid, then there's no pressure for me to play anybody outside of my conference. My focus is win the ACC, get an automatic bid. What do I need to go play Texas, Southern Cal, and Michigan for? But now, if I'm talking about what's the difference, because we've already seen that you don't have to win your conference to get in the playoff, right? That's been proven. You don't have to win your conference to be one of the four playoff teams. How do I separate myself? If I'm Georgia and I don't win the SEC championship, but I want to be a playoff team, you can't do it with Massachusetts, you know, Central Wesleyan, Middle Dakota State, okay? You can't have those schools as your backups. And to be honest with you, for right now, Georgia Tech. Having Tech on your schedule right now, that may change in the future. Actually, I firmly believe it will be a lot sexier to have Georgia Tech on your schedule. But for right now, having Georgia Tech on your schedule doesn't do anything. So to me, it's not just about playing Power 5 teams. You know, if your four non-conference games are Wake Forest, Kansas, Rutgers, and Oregon State, nobody's impressed that you played Power 5s. I'm not. And if I'm a voter in that room, I'm not. So the idea of with only four teams and the idea that one team can be a non-conference winner and still get in, how do I separate myself? Well, let's see. I've got Oklahoma, UCLA, and Notre Dame on my schedule. Now, it never guarantees that when you play those teams that they're going to be good. I'm sure when Alabama and Louisville set their game up to be played last year, they didn't do that 6 months in advance. That was years in advance. And unfortunately, you couldn't have known that Louisville was going to not have their Heisman Trophy quarterback and they were going to stink up the joint to the point where their coach is gone now. So you can never anticipate what that schedule will be like in the future. But the brand name of some schools does have a lot of cachet. It doesn't mean that Oklahoma and Texas in 8 years are going to be top five programs. But the brand of Oklahoma and Texas won't go away. The brand of Florida and Georgia won't go away. They may not be as good, but their brand name also carries a lot more cachet. It makes total sense. And I love it. And we're going to get, you know, within 5 years here, you're going to start to see lots of good matchups. See, the other thing I love about college football is taking the page out of the Daytona 500. Load up opening weekend. You know, NASCAR does its Super Bowl at the opening race. Their biggest event from a PR and marketing and brand name. There's no NASCAR race bigger than the Daytona 500. Let's run it right at the start. College football's taking some steps out of that, too. Let's play in Jerry's World. Let's play the Chick-fil-A kickoff game in Atlanta. Let's go down to Orlando. Let's go to Houston. Let's go into these stadiums and put on Texas A&M and Oregon. Right? Miami and LSU down in Jerry's World. Georgia and Oregon here at Mercedes-Benz. Or Auburn, Washington at Mercedes-Benz. Let's get those kinds of matchups right out of the chute on Labor Day weekend. And oh yeah, let's do it Saturday, Monday. Let's get a couple of days out of this. I think it's the byproduct of, I think it's the byproduct that people are not talking about how the culture of scheduling has completely changed. Now, I don't believe that we're going to go to everybody's playing Power Fives and everything like that. And I still don't think it's I still think in college football, there is benefit to playing a Central Wesleyan. Not four of them, but one. Because it gives those schools the opportunity to earn money. Ask Georgia State how important was it for Georgia State to go get their butt whooped by Alabama, to go out to Oregon, to go up to Wisconsin, to go to Penn State. That's important. One is you get these kids to get a chance to be around top-flight kids, top-flight football players. Makes you want to be better. Second of all, they love the million-dollar check. It's how you build your weight room. It's how you upgrade your facilities. That's how you get into, what do they call it, Georgia State Stadium. That's how you do it. It's how you make the money to be able to upgrade. Want cool-looking uniforms? Give me money to upgrade. Want better weight room? Give me money to upgrade. Give me $1 million from Alabama. I can get my weight room together. Want my training table to be better? Give me some money so I can get that. So there is benefit to that relationship. And what does Alabama get out of it? Another home game. Tons of cash. Oh, and they get to play an opponent that they don't have to fear losing to. So they can evaluate lots of guys in live bullet action. Lots of guys can be on the field against, not in a scrimmage, but against a different colored helmet that counts towards your win total. But you can't have four of those. And that's what these college programs are understanding. How do I separate myself? In a only four-team era, how do I make myself look relevant? Stanford wins the Pac-12, okay? how do I make myself as Georgia without an SEC title look like one of the best four teams? Well, you know what I did? I went to Austin, Texas, and I won that game. You know what else I did? I went to Norman, Oklahoma, and I won that game. And yeah, I beat up on UMass 1 week, okay? But then I also went to, I don't know, give me a school. I went to Michigan State and beat them. Or Michigan State came to my place and we beat them. Okay, who did Stanford beat? Well, they beat, you know, Kalamazoo Tech. They beat this team, that team, and their conference isn't very good. Because their conference has got Oregon State, Southern Cal, UCLA, Arizona, a bunch of programs that aren't very good. Some of that's brand name that you would think would be good, but some of those programs aren't real good. How does Stanford separate itself to say, okay, how do I make the Pac-12 relevant? Okay, let me go to Georgia and beat them. Let me go play Texas A&M in College Station and go beat them. You got to make yourself relevant. So while some people argue about four teams and the idea that it has to expand, I think you water down the product. And I think you're seeing college coaches realize that with four teams and 12 games or 13 games, I got to maximize that opportunity. Because you are going to get wins. If I'm Clemson in the ACC, I'm going to get my hands on North Carolina at some point. I'm going to get my hands on Wake Forest at some point. I'm going to get my hands on Louisville at some point. I'm going to get my hands on some of those guys. So you're still going to have some layups on your schedule. Let me grab one quick call before we get to break. James out in Atlanta. What's going on, James?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Matt.
I'm looking at the schedule, man. Our schedule is pretty doggone tough this year. I did not look at it before now.
Oh, yeah, with Texas A&M and Notre Dame coming to Athens, absolutely.
That's the game I'm looking at, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
In November. That's the tough one. But I got a quick question for you, a part of this. Notre Dame, what is the playoff committee going to do about Notre Dame and getting them out of our way for here on out?
Nothing.
No more Notre Dame in Georgia's way for the playoff committee.
Okay, but that's Notre Dame. Excuse me, James. Let me back up. That's by God, Notre Dame. Want your hot take? There will never be a 12-0 Notre Dame team that's not in the college football playoff. You understand that? Everybody got that? That shiny gold helmet at 12-0 will be in the college football playoff every year. They will never be left out. That's college football and the branding of it. All right, time for What's Bugging Chukri. If you're naming your kid after a Game of Thrones character, your kid's life's already over. I'm going to give you this story and this list that came out because I'm disappointed in it. We'll be back. We'll get to that next. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a Saturday afternoon. John Trucker here hanging out with you. Go until 5 o'clock today. Plenty to get into. If you didn't catch our Jerome Jurinovich interview from earlier, we will replay that at 4:20 today as we talk some Hawks and some Atlanta Braves with him as the Braves tonight, 8:10, first pitch. Still out in Arizona. Kevin Gausman tonight, we'll see what he's got. I think needs to get a good bounce-back start tonight, so he's been pretty iffy of late, and even the 1 1/3 inning start aside where he threw behind Urena in Miami and got tossed for it. He's not been all that effective of late with a 5 ERA, so we'll hear from him a little bit later, but we have reached that point of the show. We call it What's Bugging Chukri.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I know everybody's a big Game of Thrones fan, even though I've never seen one of the shows, and that's fine. I mean, I don't feel like I'm missing anything, and I'm not mad for the people that love Game of Thrones, but I always just have to shake my head, and I'm already rubbing my forehead with all of this, because one of the things that's been on the rise over the last few years as a result of Game of Thrones is the number of babies that are born with Game of Thrones names. You go back to the year 2014, and you had about 2,500, maybe a little bit more, 2,700 kids that were born in 2014. That number's now getting into the 5,000 range. And I can tell you, I guarantee, with all the popularity of it for this last season, that number's even going to go up. Because the stats I have are from 2018. And the show wasn't even playing in 2018, right, Bo? Am I right on that? There was no Game of Thrones in 2018, yes. So imagine now that you've got all these millennials that want to breed, and they're going to, because the show is so popular now, okay, they're going to go dress up like dragons and go have some chitlins, you know. They're going to have some little farmhands running around. This number is going to get even higher. So you've got like 5,000 kids, pretty close to it. So I guess Aria, is that how you pronounce it? Leads the pack with over 2,500 names. Now, I have no idea who these characters are. I can't even begin to tell you. So if I pronounce them wrong, Bo will correct me in my ear. Okay? Because, I mean, if it said like Mick Foley or Ric Flair or Dwayne Johnson, that I'd get. Kane, The Undertaker, I could pronounce those names. You know, The Road Dog. I mean, I could do all that, but these ones I know. So Aria leads way ahead of everybody else. It's not even close. The next closest name is it Khaleesi? Khaleesi at 560. Okay. Yara, is that right? 434. Liana, is that right? 319. Then it goes all the way down to shit. Dude, there is 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34, 38 different Games of Thrones characters that there are kids running around with their names. There's my answer to all of that. Yeah, I was going to say, I'll have to look and see. Maybe the dragons have got a name as well. I know this is going to come off mean. You get what you deserve if you had a Game of Thrones name as a kid. I can't help you at that point. Again, that's bad parenting if you ask me. These phony baloney names, you know, Apple, you know, I heard of a kid that was named Nescafe, okay? These names have got to, you know, there's plenty of names to pick from. Okay? You can certainly come. Why ruin your kid's life coming right out of the womb and say, I'm going to call him, I got to find one of my names because I ripped up the whole list. Barrick. Is that a character? Barrick, B-E-R-I-C? Barrick. Or Rennick. You know what? If you're Rennick, you're probably going to get RKO'd. I'm just telling you right now, if your first name is Braun, you're getting an RKO. And I'm going to have trouble feeling bad for you. Just, and it's not your fault because you didn't name it. All I can tell you is when you get to 18, I think that's probably the legal age to change your name. When you get to 18, go get your regular name. Okay? Don't allow yourself to be, I don't know, 31 years old and your name is it Gita? G-H-I-T-A. Does that sound right, Bo? Or Benjen? B-E-N-J-E-N. Benjen. Or Marin? Samwell? Samwell? Isn't that? That's our guy here, Brian. That's okay. All right. Yeah. You know what? If our guy, Brian, his name was really Samwell, I'd have RKO'd him by now. I'd have gone up and two-finger saluted him and given him a stone-cold stunner at that point. Okay, look, I appreciate that you love the show. That's cool. I'm all into that. You want to cosplay and dress up like them and blow smoke out your whatever as a dragon? Go for it, man. Live out your fantasy. We all have our things that we embrace. Just don't ruin it for your kids. No. No. Or call. K-H-A-L. Dude, who names their kid Call? Cal? Is it Cal or Call? Whatever it is, there's nine kids running around with that name now that didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve to have that put on them. And you know it's going to get worse, right, with this season? You think 5,000 last year was a high number? Wait till this year pops up. I can't. We'll be sitting on pins and needles waiting for the tooth. And by the way, this comes directly from, I think it's the Social Security Administration. Yes, the SSA, the Social Security Administration. They published the data for all this. There are, what did I say? 38 different Game of Thrones characters' names that people are running around with right now. Stop it. Okay? Just stop it. I'm telling you, as a 47-year-old man, stop doing this. Having kids is great. I'm all for it. I'm all for the marriage and the kids and all that. I'm not for naming your kid. What's another name? All right, find me another. I'm not for naming your name Myrcella, Myrcella, or Aegon, Aegon. Stop. Just stop already. Okay, when we get back, I don't know about you, I'm glad the Rockets have been knocked out. We'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.